it's the Word of God. And the Word of God is anointed. Amen?
Amen.
It's living. It's not some borrowed, dead, dry dust, cornbread. Reading and writing, it's not some antiquities of great writers. It's the Word of God given to man. God breathed for us to have. I just heard Dr. Finn recently say there are 6,000 promises in the Word of God, and all 6,000 are ours. Can you say thank you, Jesus? 6,000. He's our healer. Dale Disler, wave at me. He's our healer. I love that man. He's been in the hospital. He's out. Praise God. He's our deliverer and our keeper. I'm tired of the world's analogy of Christianity today. 6 o'clock news, the newscasters, these shows at nighttime. And I'm going to try to get in the anointing in just a minute, but I'm in the flesh right now. These shows at nighttime, that these talk shows that are supposed to be funny, there's nothing funny about them. I said, there's nothing funny about them. They're blasphemous. They're talking about a God they don't know. They're talking about the God. They're making mention of the deity whom there is none other. Their disbelief is only based on their limited knowledge of who and what God is. But I've got some news for you. I've met the Savior. I've met the Savior. I've had an encounter with the Son of God, and I know Jesus. How many can say amen?
Amen?
And He changed my life. It's no coincidence. We've had so many things happen here lately, and we said, oh, that's just a coincidence. It's a joke. There is no coincidence. It's His power in our lives. Let me talk to you just a minute about there is a name. I want us to gain back the awe that we sometimes lose in this world that's so godless. I want us to gain back the awe of the name of Jesus. How many says amen to that? He's not a byword. He's not someone that can be discarded. He's not a prophet. He's not a good man that was a long time ago. He is God in the flesh. We never refer to Jesus as was, because He is. When the Pharisees asked Him one day, how can you know this or speak with this kind of authority, considering you're not even 40 years old? And He said, it's real easy. Before Abraham was, I am the I am. If you say amen to that. He's the I am in your life. The debates are over in my life. I've come to a point, and I'm asking our pastors to come to a point, and our leadership, and now this morning you, I'm asking you to come to a point that there's no more debate about any area of the realness and the truth and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Debates are over. The mindless tactics of men with empty words have lost their intimidation. I'm not intimidated by the world anymore when they make their foolish statements that supposedly are based on what they know. The short-term span, the short span of human intellect that dares to challenge the omniscience of God has become an embarrassment to themselves. Can you say amen? Empty theories based on flawed data that manufacture lies called facts created to support attacks on God's existence are losing ground, and they're falling short. And their goals, God continues to prove Himself in every area of creation and in living and in being. God is being seen greater than ever before in time. Scripture says it's salvation for you and I. The fact that we can be lost, born without hope, come into a world and find a Savior that thought and cares enough for us to give His life for us and die for us. We have a hope there and a truth. The Scripture says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And that name is, was, and continues to be the name of Jesus. There's no other name that'll save your soul. If any of these hit you and you want to just stand up and wave at me, just tell me, just help yourself. You see, when I see that name, I know that's the name that took me out of sin and lostness and gave me eternal life. I not only have hope now, and I have the greatest hope now. I don't have to live under the cloud of the Adamic curse because I'm no longer of the family of Adam. I'm of the family of the firstborn of the Son of God, and I'm a child of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other name that'll save your soul. There's no other name that will heal your body. Amen? Yeah. Anybody been healed in here by the power of the blood of Jesus? Okay, listen, I know the sun's starting to pop out, and I know it's being gloomy, but if you just want to sit there and, yeah, that's fine with me. But I'm telling you, when you've been blind, and all of a sudden you start to see, it's kind of hard to sit still, isn't it? Some of you have had sicknesses, devious sicknesses, and not given any hope, and God's touched you. I want to tell you, if you've been healed, stand up and wave at me and tell me I've been redeemed and healed by the blood of Jesus. I've been set free by the power of His name. The name has been enough to do it for me, and I live in divine healing. Listen to this, not only in my mind, but in my body, in my spirit, in my home, in my business. He has healed me and continues to be my God, and He will continue to. There's no other name that'll calm your fears. No other name that'll take away your guilt. There's no other name that will bring peace to your soul and your spirit and a confused and troubled mind. There's no other name that will replace depression with joy. You ever been depressed? It's a dark closet that you set in, but He is able to kick the door of hell in and bring the gloom out and bring the light of His glorious countenance inside. And I go from depressed to on top because of the name of Jesus. There's another name that can provide the true God that people and you have searched for and longing to experience. The answer to absolutely everything in your life. There's no other name. Every category. Not an area that He doesn't have the answer for. That's the name. He's the name that destroys the power of hell. That's chained you to addictions. If you're listening to me today, and you've had addictions in your life. If you're listening live streaming and you have addictions in your life, there's a name that can break the chains of hell that's addicted you, that holds you, that when you've done everything you tried to do, get away from, just that name and that name alone is enough to break that chain and to set you free from addictions. I want to set the record very straight today. And that's Jesus can. Jesus will. He's the name that opened the holies of holies and beckoned anyone to meet Him and experience His presence. He's the only name that will give you a song in your heart that will endure the sorrows and disappointments of life. My friends, we're weird people. We're strange people. People can come up to us and put their hands on our shoulders as you've gone through a hard time, you've gone through a difficult situation, and pat you on the back and say, how are you doing? And they think we're odd. They think something's wrong when we turn around. In fact, a lot of people think that we deny reality because we can turn around in the middle of a storm, in the middle of sorrow, in the middle of heartache, and lift our hands up and sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because we have a God that gives us a song in the night that you cannot find in any other place or any other existence. He alone is the joy of our lives. His name is the origin and procurer of love, and that without condition. Just as you are, Jesus loves you. Just like you are, you can't clean up for him. He cleans you up. You can't change. He changes you. When people walk into this church, they might walk in like the prodigal, but it won't be long until we're putting a robe of righteousness around them. It won't be long until we're telling them about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that will put that ring of authority on them. And we'll take them from the broken and from the pig pen back to the house and get them reinstated as children of God that they need to be. This is called the sanctuary. This is where people come in basket cases and walk out gloriously saved and changed and healed. And it's because of the name of Jesus. Everybody say, calm down now, Pastor. You have no idea how hard it is for me to not be able to say what I'm feeling. So just listen closely, okay? My volume isn't going to cause the anointing. His anointing's all his. Human nature has a real tendency, though. And I don't know about you, but I found this with me. Human nature has a real tendency to forget the blessings and the supernatural involvement of God in my everyday life. Have you ever been there that you kind of forgot the things that God do for you every day? Everyone should say yes. We tend to forget what God has done to free us from the prison of sin. I'm telling you, every morning when you get out of bed, I don't care what you're facing, I don't care what the day looks like, it doesn't matter what's on the agenda or what's come to you. Every day when you get out of bed, you're going to have one thing happen. You're going to be met by an enemy that's going to try to steal, kill, and destroy you. But you can reverse the curse by one name, and that's the name of Jesus. Amen. I remember when I was saved, I've told this story many times, about an old grandma that helped raise me in my daddy's church, Grandma Johnson. And the night that I was gloriously saved at my father's backwoods country church, she asked me, what's going on? I said, well, I've lost my soul. I was 18 years old. I was going to pledge a fraternity. I was going to pole vault back then in college at a place, and it was secular, and all of a sudden it hit me. I realized I was lost. It didn't matter if my dad was a preacher. I had no hope, and I thought that I'd gone past the will and the love of God. And I was in depression and broken, and on a Saturday evening, my mom and dad took me to our church. And before no church, just call some prayer warriors. And I was down there in front, and Grandma Johnson said, now tell me, what is it? And I said, I've lost my soul, and I'm lost without hope. And she started chuckling, and I thought, well, God, you even got the devil, got Grandma laughing at me now. It's bad. You know, I'm going to hell, and she thinks it's funny. And I thought, well, I didn't know what to say. She said, oh, honey, I'm not laughing at you. She said, I'm laughing because for, I don't know what, 80-something years, she said, every day I swing my feet out on the old cold floor, and the devil comes up to me and says, Ethel, You're lost and on your way to hell. And she said, every morning, I speak these words. Devil, you're the same liar you was yesterday. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. I've been redeemed and set free. I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And she said, he goes his way and I go mine. You need to start your day off with this. I am a child of the Most High God. And I love him and I praise him. We must be careful. Oh, hush up. That's a flash flood alert, and they're all wore out. I'm not mad it went off. I'm just saying, ain't no more. That's done. You're going to wear that one out. We'll see how many cell phones we have in here. 4,000 flash flood warnings just went off. And they're all in tune. There are times when we find ourselves sidetracked by the blatant lies from Satan, who only lies, the only time he lies is when he opens his mouth and when he's speaking. The lying that he lies is his nature, it's his language. We must be careful, though, listen to this. We must be very careful not to lose the awe of God. Can you say amen? We must be extremely careful not to lose the awe of God. The entire nation of Israel had been delivered out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 tells the story of Israel coming out of Egypt, but those chapters tell of the 10 plagues. 12 is their exit. In those 5 chapters, we see where God manifested himself in 10 measures on behalf of the children of Israel. Boy, I wish I had my full voice. I'm a lot more excited than I can show you right now. I've been studying. I've been reading about God's involvement in that nation and what he's done. We cannot lose the awe of our God. 10 times God defied 10 of the most powerful gods Egypt had to offer. You see, those 10 plagues, and when I started studying this years ago and started realizing what God had done, it was not a random plague that God said, I'm going to make it uncomfortable for you. There were 10 major gods of all the hundreds and thousands that Egypt had. But there were 10 major gods that they worshiped. And God targeted all 10 of those in 10 plagues to show them that they did not have a God, or they did not have a power, or they did not have an authority that could keep his children in captivity. Now, I'm going to explain something to you. That was a foreshadowing of what we have today, because there is not a plague, there's not an authority, there's not a power, there's not a demon in hell that can keep you in captivity by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that sets you free. He showed us in Exodus how he was providing a way for us to not live under the captivity of sin anymore, not any area of the captivity of the world anymore, but we would be set free and delivered and given hope and peace. And so he specifically chose their top 10 gods, and he sent a man by the name of Moses and Aaron, and they came to their Pharaoh, who they believed to be a God man, and they confronted him and told him, you need to let us go. You see, the number 10 is a significant number in Bible numerology. It represents a fullness of quality. 10 Egyptian plagues means a complete plague. He covered every base that would try to keep Israel captive. Listen to me. Listen. Put your ears on really good. If you're watching New Stream live streaming, listen to me. He has covered every base by the blood of Jesus Christ that would try to keep you captive. And he has completely and totally plagued the power of hell when he descended in the earth and he broke the gates of hell and took away the keys to death and the keys to hell. And he gave us remission from sin by the redemption of his blood, and he set us free by the power of his name. He just wanted to give us a little foreshadowing. He wanted us to see what was coming with Jesus. Listen to me, I'm building this up. I'm trying to get you to have an awe of Jesus. I'm trying to get you to understand that this one that John says is not only the Creator, but he's your Redeemer. He alone set this in pattern. He showed them through 10 plagues the completeness of his love that was coming when he would be nailed to a cross and his blood shed for you and I. He showed us that he was going to take care of every, listen to me, you have an area in your life that you believe God maybe just doesn't understand, doesn't quite get it. You know, you're 21st century people. Woo! And when God gets out of his sandal and robes and quits walking and riding a donkey, he may understand our technical world. My friends, listen to me. God is the eternal God. Omniscient means knowing everything. Omnipresent means everywhere. Omnipotent is all powerful. He is God eternal, and there's nothing that we can do but offer him our little bit, our lack of knowledge, really, compared to who he is. He knows everything and has already experienced it. So with 10 plagues, they came. The first plague, listen to this. You'll find these interesting how God pinpointed those 10 gods of Egypt. The first plague of turning the water into blood targeted a god by the name of Hapi, H-A-P-I. And I love it. If you're an Egyptian theologian or Egyptian science study, or if you have some education far greater than mine, if you'll correct me and tell me he didn't even pronounce their names right. I want to tell you, I read them. I usually go to the pronunciation so I can, but they're not even significant enough for me to worry about. I'm going to say them the way I read them because they're not gods anyway. They're a fictitious makeup of some man, and if I don't say their names right, that's all I got to say. I'll spell the letters. They're nothing to be considered or honored because they're not God. Jesus is. The very first God, when he turned the water into wine, that God was H-A-P-I. The God depicted by carrying a jar of water. Their God of water brought water to a desert area out of the Nile. And how that Nile was worshipped. And that's the thing that God did. He went against their God that said that he could provide water for them and turn the Nile into blood and the wells into blood and the cisterns into blood and the Kool-Aid in the house into blood. Everything turned to blood because he wanted to show them that he was a God greater than their God by the name of Hapi or Hoopy or Whoopy. The second plague was the plague of the frogs. This roused Heket, H-E-K-E-T. This god had the head of a frog and a body of a human. It's the god of fertility. But our god was able to produce 100,000 frogs an hour. Heket didn't get that done. He outshined him. He was greater. He broke the back of their god. Every one of these plagues had a god that represented the plague. When Moses went up there, he didn't know. God spoke to him. He said, tell him that if he doesn't let my people go, that disobedience is going to cause frogs to cover this whole land. Moses understood then, because he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He was educated, and he went, oh my goodness, if God turns all the frogs loose in the world on Egypt, that's going to be a real slam against Hecate, that god. It's going to put him down. It's going to show that he has no power. And he goes up to Moses, but goes up to Pharaoh, and he's kind of halfway chuckling. And he goes, hey, I just want to tell you something. You think Hecate's the god of fertility? You think he has power? You ain't going to like what's going to happen if you don't let us go. God is telling us today that everything that attacks and tries to keep us back from moving forward, he is destroying and overwhelming with his power. The third god was Geb, G-E-B. This is a god of the earth and the soil and the dust of the land. A lot of difference between dust and sand. The dust of the land was soil. That was the area, the fertile area that caused food to be grown. And God sent Moses to Pharaoh on the third time. Is this okay to teach this? You see the correlation? Because I'm bringing to a point. On the third god, the dust, and he said, let my people go, or the lice that I will bring will be like the dust of the earth. Pharaoh said no, and he exchanged grains of dust for lice, and billions of trillions of lice covered the land, and he again destroyed the third god. The fourth plague that their god, K-H-E-P, Kepri, the plague of flies. They called him the Lord of the Flies. He was a god, and I think it's ironic that this hideous god had the head of a fly and the body of a human, and he was to be worshipped because of his greatness on the earth and his ability to supply the needs of the people. But funny thing happened. On the fourth one, God told Moses, tell him that flies will invade the land and there's going to be not enough room for your god if you don't listen to me. And he came, and the flies came by the trillions and covered the land. On the sixth one, the sixth point God was making to mankind was about his omnipotence. The plague of boils and sores on the body of all the people of Egypt. Listen to me. Their god was a god called Isis, and that was the god of medicine and healing. They were world known and renowned for their cures and their ointments, but there was no medicine that could prevent God to supersede their power, and he broke boils out on the entire nation of Egypt, and Egypt had all of these horrible boils. Because God was the one that overrode the power of Isis. And I want to tell you something today. If you're sick here today and hell's come against you and your body is tired and there are things that aren't working right, God has overridden the cancer and the disease and the sorrow that your body is presenting to you. He put those on the cross and they've been covered, and you've been healed by the power of the blood. You've been healed by the name of Jesus, and it simply means all you have to do is lift your hands to him and say, Jesus, I receive what you've given me and I'm healed in the name of Jesus. You see, he overrode the power of the world's gods. The seventh god was such a befitting god for people in the world today. The seventh stronghold Egypt believed to be a god was their god of the sky and the weather. You know his name? I'm not sure how to pronounce this. N-U-T. I added an S on it. Nut. That's how you pronounce it. The god of the weather in the sky. But I'm here to tell you, when that was supposed to be protecting them, God rained down fiery hailstones that destroyed everything in its path over the nation of Egypt. And they once again saw that their God wasn't as great as our God. Our God has defeated the gods of the world. The eighth god was Seth, the god of storms and disorder. How appropriate. Our God sent locusts in the form of a storm, and he caused plenty of disorder when the locusts ravaged the land and ate the land, because there's not another god that can stand against our God. He's greater than Seth. He's greater than the god of storms. He caused the storm that caused Seth to lose his place and be destroyed. The ninth attempt to quail our God was Ra, R-A, their great god of the sun. They worshiped the sun god, but the only true God cast Egypt into 3 days of absolute blackness, absolute darkness, while the children of Israel didn't even have a hint of darkness in Goshen. Another changed, and another change to this day is while the world is walking around in darkness, we have been given the light of the world. We live in the power of Jesus in our lives. He was, he is, and will always be God, and we know him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the light of the world. And the finale, the tenth, was to take down Egypt's ultimate source of power. Their greatest god was Pharaoh, a man believed to be God. They set a man up higher than any other power or deity now. Look, today, nothing's different. Men are esteemed above God by a world who desperately needs to know who the real God is. But I know something. You know something. We know something that a lot of the world doesn't know. And we understand that the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to your heart and spoken to my heart. And he has proven to me over and over again. And I can tell you that I do know who God is. There's only one God, and he holds all the power of life and death, all the power of creation, and controls all things. And what he says will happen. Do you believe that? And what his word promises, he will do. Do you believe that? I stand in awe of his majesty and his glory. I will not allow the enemy to take his glory out of my mouth. Are you listening? Amen. I will not allow the enemy to take his glory out of my mouth. Here lately, I've been being checked by the Holy Spirit. And when I start to say something, and I'm not one of those guys that's going to run around behind you and tell you, you shouldn't make that statement. I don't do that baloney. I'm just a human being, and I say things, and I live. But here lately, when I've said things, the Holy Spirit's been coming to me and saying, look, are you giving glory to God when you say that? Or are you giving up when you say that? Are you taking away from his glory when you make that statement and say he can't or won't for you, you're different? Are you giving him glory? And he's been checking me on a few things that I normally would just spit out there. I mean, when all this rain came, I'm, oh, God, please help us. Don't let the roof leak. And God, I just pray that, and I'm starting to see a flood coming up Bee Creek that washed the church away, and we'd have to have a lake church on the lake. Horrible things. God said, why don't you just speak the truth? That's a house of God. I rest there. Speak the truth over Kevin's house. Speak the truth over Roy and Barbara. Speak the truth over the people that live near. Speak the power of the truth and believe I'm the God that's able to protect them, and just praise me for it. My friends, God's been checking me, and he's telling me, don't remove the awe of God. Amen. Speak to who he is. Speak to his glory. Speak to his power. We sometimes forget what it's called about the call on our life and what it means to be called by God, appointed to service by the Creator of the universe. There are times that we forget to bring the awe of God in our everyday life. I want to tell you, the children of Israel came out of captivity into a desert without food or water. And God provided a cloud for them at night that looked like a rolling fireball through the clouds, that in that freezing desert that would drop 50 or 60 degrees between night and day, warmth for them, for the entire nation of Israel. During the day, when the sun would reach 110, 115, and you could not survive one entire day just out in the open, he provided a cloud that literally put a curtain of cooling down, and it was like 72 degrees. It was like the mall. You're walking around under the protective custody of God. Every morning when they woke up, there was manna on the ground, and they picked it up and they tasted of angel bread, and they began to eat it, and it sustained them. Their clothes didn't get old. Water came out of a rock. They were protected. They were healed. They were made new. Nothing was wrong. It was like every day they woke up in a bandbox. It was wonderful. And then even with all of that, one day the children of Israel began to murmur about the manna. They lost the awe of God. They couldn't last 3 days without that. There was no other food source. But they became disgruntled. Now, I've never done this, but I understand there's been times when some people gripe about life. Personally, I've never done that. I don't even understand it. And I'm the biggest liar that ever hit this county. I forget about the daily manifestations of God. I forget about his benefits. I forget about his mercy and his love. I forget about his provision. And I'm one that'll stand there once in a while. I was, listen to me, I'm a reformed follower. I would say, oh, not manna again. They said, God, give us something else besides manna. They lost their awe of the daily miracles of God. Listen to me, church. Do not lose your awe of the daily manifestations and the blessings of God. You have no idea what he protects you from. You have no idea how he's protecting you right now if you're watching live stream or if you're sitting in this house. His hand is on you. They begin to murmur. And they lost the awe. We must be careful not to do that. 10 times God defied 10 of the most powerful gods of Egypt and the most powerful gods they had to offer. Every plague targeted a specific god that they worshiped. The first plague of turning the water into blood to the last plague of the death of the firstborn. God was showing his power and his authority. There's an answer for you and I today. And for everyone that's come from captivity into the freedom of God. Our God categorically will destroy any influence that has contrived itself, impersonated itself as a power or authority, that's tried to prevent you from the freedom that God has given you. And there's not one thing that's changed from the day of the children of Israel to this day right now. He's still God. He's still the I am. He's still the I am. There's no area. So don't listen to me. Don't give glory to the enemy. Don't lose your awe of who he is. 10 specific gods. Absolutely in order up to their greatest God, he destroyed until Egypt said, get away, get out of here. And they gave him the gold of the land and they left, and then he provided. My friends, if there's something that you want to have freedom from, God's here to do it. Satan has his agents of hell stationed at every promotion God has in your walk with him. Now listen to this closely. Listen to me. Some of you are growing so much in God. Satan has his agents of hell stationed at every promotion God has in your walk with him. And God has a supernatural miracle awaiting the attempted abduction of Satan on your life. Jesus will dismantle, destroy, and depose their power and set you free to have the promise that he's given you. Satan's going to be there at every promotion, but God has a supernatural power that's greater, that will destroy and set you free of everything Satan's tried to do. Pastor, I'm tired. I have fought this fight, and I'm just wore out. Well, first thing is, it's not your fight. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity and to the obedience of Christ. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You believe that's true? Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? Listen to me. There are things. Are you listening? Are you listening? There are things that's trying to take you over, try to keep you in bondage, try to keep you, try to hold you. But this word is a living word. And the scripture says right there where I was reading in 8:31 of Romans, what shall we say to these things? If God is for you, who can be against us? There's no power. He was showing us then what Jesus is doing now. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Colossians 1:12-13 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Listen to that. In the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. My goodness. Do you hear me this morning? Don't lose your awe, because there's something about that name. That name will break every chain, every power, every authority. Now listen to me.